from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Straight up with no chaser. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
Let's put a bow on the Buffalo Bills preseason with the loss on Saturday against Carolina and a look ahead to tomorrow at 4 o'clock, the deadline to trim the roster down to their final 53. We bring in Ryan Talbot covering the Bills for NewYorkUpstate.com to discuss some of those moves that Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean are going to make here in the next 24 hours. Ryan, who's on the outside looking in that might be a surprise?
You know, there's not a ton of surprises, honestly, when you look at this roster. Some of the names that I have, like, right on the edge in terms of could make it, may not, are guys like K.J. Hamler, Zach Davidson, who I thought had a really nice training camp, but I don't know if he did enough to push out Quentin Morris. Lyle Collins is right there on that roster bubble. So there's a few names there, but when you really look at it, you know, most of Buffalo's roster spots, they do seem like they're almost set in stone.
Yeah, the way it used to be, Ryan, you couldn't go on injured reserve prior to cutdown. If you did, you were gone for the year. They're now allowing two players. So if we're going through the exercise, certainly we know Matt Milano is going to be one. Who would be the other player, would you say, the Bills would use that designation between now and 4 o'clock tomorrow?
Yeah, you know, my last projection, I went with Baylen Specter, who's banged up right now, listed as being week-to-week by Sean McDermott recently. The linebacker depth is already pretty thin in terms of who could make this final roster. So I think Specter would make sense, a guy that you could bring back after 4 weeks. I think that's a position where the Bills are going to be looking at that waiver wire, see who gets released league-wide to see if they can upgrade that position. But I'm going to go with Specter's and Milano, so two linebackers in those IR spots.
All right, we see where this is going then. If that's the case and you're thin at that position, oh, my God, Joe Andreessen's going to make the final 53, isn't he, Ryan?
Yeah, it's everything's pointing in his direction in terms of, you know, possibly making this 53-man roster. They get rid of or they waive, release Deion Jones yesterday, a veteran. They're pretty beat up there elsewhere. So you have Terrell Bernard, Dorian Williams, Nicholas Moreau, who's dealing with a core and groin injury, but I think he'll be on that roster. Ulofosio and then Andreessen. I think they make up your five guys on this initial roster.
We're talking to Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com, as we're trying to figure out what this final 53 will look like for the Buffalo Bills. MVS then, I'm assuming then, Ryan, then if you have Specter going on the IR, the Bills will carry MVS, or could they perhaps be letting him go? And for that matter, who's wide receiver 5 and/or 6 on this team?
Yeah, I have MVS making it as wide receiver 6, despite not doing much this summer. Sean McDermott gave a promising update on both MVS and Curtis Samuel, believing that they may be available come week one. So I'm not going to put MVS on that IR spot. He has some guarantees that make him stick around. But I have Tyrell Shavers as wide receiver number 5. I feel like he did enough this summer to separate himself from MVS, kind of put himself into that spot. He can play on special teams. I thought he, you know, I know he only had 2 catches in the preseason finale, but just the double move that he gave to get wide open, that's going to look good on film. You could put the blame on both Shavers and DiNucci to a certain extent on the throw itself. I thought there was plenty of room for DiNucci to kind of get that right to him. He tried to loft it. Looked like Shavers slowed down a little bit. But overall, I thought Shavers had a great summer. Makes this roster, as does MVS, because of the guarantees. And that leaves guys like KJ Hamler, like I said, on the outside looking in. Justin Shorter, a draft pick from 1 year ago. Andy Isabella, who was a camp darling last year, too. So, you know, it gets tough because you want to find room for these guys. A guy like Shorter that you invested in, Isabella, who has some return skills to his game, same with Hamler.
I wish, Ryan, that we were in person like we were at St. John Fisher University, just so you could have seen Gene's reaction to you saying Tyrell Shavers not only makes the team, but is the fifth wide receiver on your depth chart.
Well, from this standpoint, Ryan, I mean, I'm just wondering, like, and I'm seeing like names that we're familiar with, guys we've seen produce in this league. Donovan Peoples-Jones apparently getting released today by the Lions. Not that I'd say go get him. But you mean to tell me that the Bills couldn't find a better wide receiver five that might be on the waiver wire better than Tyrell Shavers?
Well, this is just as of tomorrow. You're right. Once waivers hit, I mean, that's a completely different ballgame. For instance, Terrace Marshall Jr., for instance, in Carolina, he's reportedly on the trade block. And if he gets released, you know, I know he hasn't done a ton in this league, but has the familiarity with Joe Brady from their days at LSU and his rookie season in Carolina. There's going to be some other players that are more established. It's very possible that the wide receiver room on the back end, the linebacker room on the back end, those are potential areas to get upgraded via the waiver wire, players that get cut elsewhere, veterans that are let go where the Bills don't have to try to put in a claim, for instance. So, yeah, this is just based on what I think of as of tomorrow at 4 p.m.
So walk us through that, because if you were to ask me how many players end up on the Bills' final 53 that aren't on the roster during training camp, my number would have been like, I don't know, maybe like two. And if you were to ask me that today, I would say, yeah, I don't think they're going to. I just don't get the sense. I think they're going to ride with the guys that they have because of their familiarity rather than being out there and finding a guy that might actually come in who has a little bit more talent than say a Tyrell Shavers.
So I would say just one or two at most if I were, because when you're right, when you look at most of these positions, they're set at cornerback. You know, there's a lot of uncertainty with the safety position, but Bishop and Mike Edwards are trending in the right direction. Cam Lewis has the versatility to play there. Damar Hamlin, you'd think, would be possibly ready to go week one. The D-line looks pretty good on paper, but linebacker, Udofosio and Andreessen being linebackers 4 and 5, both rookies, one draft pick, one was a rookie minicamp tryout all the way to the roster. It's a great story, but I feel like maybe you could upgrade at that spot, for instance. And then wide receiver just comes down to who is potentially available and are they willing to either eat some of the guaranteed money on MVS's contract, or are they willing to then maybe move on from Shavers after all the initial action, try to sneak him onto the practice squad? Those would be the two spots that come to mind. But, you know, for the most part, this roster, like I said, I don't think there's a lot of wiggle room for outside names coming in.
Yeah, Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com, our guest. I'm going to give you another position here, Ryan, because, well, if we take Sean McDermott at his word saying, hey, everybody's in play, there's a chance, certainly, that Mitchell Trubisky would be ready as the backup quarterback for week one. We talked to Mike Catalano from 13 Win last hour. He said he saw Trubisky hobbling around. Those were his words. And, you know, maybe he gets right by the time that goes around. But the question here being, Ryan, can the Bills do better at the backup quarterback position? Because, hey, if you need somebody for a game two here or two, I would not feel comfortable with Ben DiNucci as the week one backup here.
No, and that's fair and valid. And Trubisky, you know, Matt Parrino said he was walking around with a noticeable limp. So yeah, it kind of goes right along with what Mike reported as well. So you're kind of waiting to see how well he heals up. He's wearing a brace. Whether or not he's ready for week one is to be determined. The Bills obviously love Trubisky, that being Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott. They raved about him the last time he was on the roster. They were very quick to sign him to be the backup this year. I think that he's kind of locked into that job. But if he's not ready to go week one, I would like to believe that they can find a better option than DiNucci out there. DiNucci did fine enough job in that preseason finale when he was out there. But it's the decision making for him. It's the, you know, obviously lack of playing time in this league. You might be able to get a guy that goes unclaimed. And I think Bailey Zappe probably gets claimed, but he's one example of a quarterback who has some starting NFL experience that you could maybe bring in here to kind of settle that position until Trubisky was healthy. But I don't know how dire the Bills view that, because I do feel like they're all in on Trubisky this year as that QB2, despite having a very underwhelming summer.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com, stopping by the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia, talking Buffalo Bills football leading up to the 53-man final roster deadline tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock. Ryan, true or false, the Buffalo Bills have a Tyler Bass problem?
True, but you know, it's one of those things where I don't know what they can really do about it. He has so much money locked in this year where I think that they're stuck with him until he starts costing them games in the regular season. That's the only way I could see them moving on from him, because right now, even, you know, after the cuts are done across the league, I'm not sure there's going to be a proven entity out there on the market that is an upgrade from Tyler Bass. Whoever you're going to sign is going to be probably just as inconsistent as Bass has been this summer at some point in their respective careers. You don't just usually stumble into a great kicker becoming available on the market. But what I think the Bills would be wise to do is to add one of those kickers to their practice squad to kind of push Tyler Bass a little bit, make him realize that if this is something that happens in games, we have a guy that we're going to be working with, hoping that, you know, if he shows enough and you cost us games down the road, then we will eat that salary and have to move on. But right now it's a problem and they're kind of stuck with it.
Yeah, I mean, what happened here? Because you went from him being Mr. Automatic to, and Matt Parrino mentioned this back in training camp too, and you were out there at camp, the ball just looks different coming off of his foot. It's almost like a golfer that all of a sudden lost his swing, kind of, Ryan.
We have a theory from one of our listeners who just hit us up on X at the Fan Rochester. Could this be the initial signs of Steve Blass disease? Do you know about this? That numerous players, Major League Baseball pitchers, NFL kickers,
Vanderjack being the one, right?
Vanderjack going 87.5% of his field goals during his 8 seasons. But just like that missed attempt against Kansas City, he had a 46-yard field goal in the 05 playoffs against Pittsburgh with 18 seconds left. And like Bass, he shanked it, never recovered, and missed over 50% of his kicks the following year and was cut.
Yeah, I think whoever sent that to you is a shout insider, because I had a discussion with this on the same exact topic earlier this morning with someone who brought the same point, the same players, everything. And it's true. It's, you know, kickers especially, when they lose it, it just seems like they can't get it back. And he was trying different things this summer, and Sean McDermott acknowledged that. And, you know, the ball's coming off his foot great. He's trying different things out. I think by now, though, you need to have everything figured out for the most part. You still can't be trying things out this close to the start of the regular season. And if you can't make those kicks from 40-plus, 50-plus yards out, you're going to make things more challenging for McDermott, for Joe Brady in this offense. They're going to have to maybe go for it more on fourth and reasonable situations, which with Josh Allen, I don't know if that's the worst thing possible, but you're going to lose faith in him really quick if he comes into games and he starts missing those you know, kicks in that 45, 47 range that a lot of guys, most guys in this league make nowadays. And he just seems to be having that confidence issue where after that kick against KC in the playoffs, it just seems like things have gone astray for him, and he's really having trouble bouncing back from it.
Yeah, we're talking Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com, as the final 53 coming up here. Ryan, I just look at this team right now, and I'm trying to wonder, is there a position of strength that maybe, hey, you said there won't be any surprises, but somebody like a Lyle Collins, do you think Brandon Bean, the possibilities that he could be trying to flip somebody right now and getting some draft capital, even if that is to move up a round or two?
Yeah, I would say when you look at this roster, guys that I could see them trading away to potentially get some late picks, Lyle Collins is a great choice, first of all. 31 years old, I don't think he has the position versatility anymore. I think he's purely a guard at this point in his career, but a lot of experience. Maybe you can get someone there. Will Clapp, he's dealing with a concussion issue right now. As long as he clears that, he's another player where if you have him on the outside looking in, he has some experience in this league. He's someone that, you know, teams are always looking for offensive linemen. And then on the opposite side, on the D line, Kingsley Jonathan and Casey Tuhill would be two names that I would be trying to see if there's a late round pick for out there if a team is looking to add to their defensive end ranks. And I think Jonathan has more upside, but Tuhill obviously has more experience and stats that kind of back up his play in this league. But those are two guys that I don't have making the initial 53-man roster, I think, have some value on the defensive side of the ball.
Ooh, interesting. Okay, so what's your number there for the defensive line, Ryan, and who do you have on and who do you have off?
Yeah, I went with 9, which is might be, you know, light at that position, but I have Rousseau, Von Miller, A.J. Epenesa, Smoot, Javon Solomon as my 5 edge rushers, and then I have Ed Oliver, Daquan Jones, Austin Johnson, and Dwayne Carter as my 4 D tackles. And, you know, a lot of it with the D tackle position, I didn't feel like Deshaun Williams did enough this summer to put himself as a lock on this roster. Maybe the Bills, though, want to go with 5-5. Maybe they go with 6-4, but I went with a little bit light with 9 D linemen on my initial roster.
When it comes to figuring out the final 53, how much, if at all, is anything cap related here, Ryan? Because we know the Bills are very tight here.
Yeah, no, nothing was necessarily cap related, except for I did look at the guarantees in the case of a guy like MVS, and it's not a monstrous guarantee. But it's enough to make me think that the Bills have already built in the excuses that he's the last receiver to kind of come along and join the team this summer. He's still learning the offense, despite all the drops at St. John Fisher University and the, you know, underwhelming summer that he had. I still think there's a path for him. And while Mitch Trubisky was pretty underwhelming too, I think the contract that they locked him in is as well has him set as that QB2 as long as he's healthy.
Well, we'll always have Saturday is the Frank Gore Jr. game. We'll always remember Frank Gore Jr. going out there and competing like a warrior in a meaningless preseason game. And when you do that kind of thing in the preseason, you become immortal, right? But a lot of times it means that you never end up on the field again, and that's your high point. Do you think there's more there? Is there more meat on the bone for Frank Gore Jr. after seeing what he was able to do in the preseason this year?
I think there is, but I think that he is the ideal practice squad addition that you'd want. You want to see what you can develop out of him in a year. And you're right. He became a darling to the fan base on Saturday. When I shared my projection, I had one fan laughing at the point at the fact that I didn't have Gord Jr. on the roster, and the Bills should cut Ty Johnson or Reggie Gilliam to make sure Gore has that spot.
Oh,
and,
wow.
You know, it's every summer you get that, those guys that have those performances, and they must be on the roster.
Is Christian Wade still available? Can you get him? He's still out there, right?
I think he's back playing rugby at this point. But, I like Frank Gore Jr. He's a little undersized, though. He showed well in the preseason finale, but you want to try to bulk him up a little bit, get him more of an NFL body, and you can't do anything about the height, but you can add a little bit of bulk and muscle to the frame. And, you know, and unfortunately, Darrington Evans, too, is another guy that I don't have them making this roster, where I think Evans, somewhere in this league, should be able to stick around because of his return ability, because of his speed. He has some of the intangibles that you look for in a number 3 running back, But the Bills just kind of have that room already figured out.
Yeah, we're talking to Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com, is taking a look at that final 53. And as we mentioned, Ryan, whatever the Tuesday 53 at 4 o'clock is, highly unlikely it's going to be the same 53 that they're going to open up with against Arizona. Let me throw a name past you. Did he do enough last year? Because I'm reading out of Viking camp that Trent Sherfield is squarely on the bubble. We know the Bills like guys that have familiarity with the offense. Is that somebody, do you think, that they would consider?
I wouldn't necessarily consider him for the 53. If he goes unclaimed and doesn't land on a roster, practice squad, absolutely. But Sherfield, you know, didn't really do much in this offense last year when it mattered. He had some big drops in the postseason on balls that he could have and probably should have caught. I don't think that he made enough of an impression there to stick around. I think that the Bills were ready to move on from him, and he was ready for a fresh start. So, no, not someone that I would eye for the 53. But, again, you're right, the familiarity, if he does get cut by the Vikings and he doesn't sign anywhere, he would be an ideal practice squad candidate because of his knowledge of the system.
Ryan, you tipped us off to something earlier when we were talking about Tyler Bass having the yips, the Shout Insider Club that you believe one of our regulars might be a part of just by having that conversation. Tell us a little bit more about what you and Matt are working on here as we get ready for week one and we get ready for that announcement of the final 53 tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, so with the Shout Insider, we have a dedicated number of Bills fans that we communicate with. We send out messages to them. We can communicate one-on-one with them. We give them news and observations before anything else, so it's a really cool platform. And then in addition to that, though, you know, Matt and I will, as soon as that roster is set tomorrow, we'll have articles up on that. I'll have a tracker that goes live tomorrow. Matt will be giving his initial thoughts on the 53-man roster, probably talking about some potential upgrades that are out there as well. I'll have a practice squad tracker. So it's going to be a pretty busy time, both with the Shout Insider text line and just in general on social media and on Syracuse.com and NYF.com.
You keep up the great work, the work you and Matt are doing here, and I'm sure we'll run into each other week one there. Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com, always a pleasure to have you on, bud.
Hey, thanks, guys.
You got it. Ryan Talbot, covering the team, doing a hell of a job. We'll have Perino on tomorrow, right? Tomorrow is Perino Tuesday.
Yeah, Perino Tuesday. We got to come up with some catchy nickname for Perino Tuesday.
We just need to, well, we do we need do we really need a nickname for Matt Perino? I don't think we do. You want to know why?
Because he's Italian!
He's got Rochester roots, too. He's of the Perino family from Brockport. You know, he's one of the
West Side. Right.
Brockport, that's on the outer skirts of the West Side.
That's right.
You know, me.
That's absolutely right.
Yeah, you know,
hey. Who are you talking to tomorrow? 325? Matt Perino? Hey.
Although Matt Perino, I'm not sure if he's eating the white bread and pasta on Sunday, the way he treats his body.
No, he's not doing that. Sauce on Sunday for that one. No, probably not. Really appreciate the insight there from Ryan Talbot. We look forward to our conversation with Matt Perino, his co-host on the Shout Podcast. That's tomorrow, 325. We're going to take a break and come back with Happy Hour next in the sports bar. CeeDee Lamb gets paid. We've got a preseason finale to recap, and the Bills already making some roster moves here. And we continue to project what this final 53-man roster could look like by tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock. You're welcome to pull up a stool and join us as well at 585-866 for FAN. We're also on Elon's Twitter. That's X at the Fan Rochester.
You're listening to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.